And you know, all through the church age, we who were true believers really tried very hard to obey that command. We always have held the pastor and the elders and the deacons in the highest respect, or we should have if we didn't. We listened to them very carefully. We believed that they were bringing the truth, and we were grateful when we had a pastor who was particularly humble and particularly seemingly well acquainted with the Word of God. And so we had a very happy relationship. And of course, we were members there. And the Bible also indicated that if you became a renegade in the church, then you were to be excommunicated, because the church was that kind of a body for 1955 years. And now God is saying, now suppose that I didn't do it the way I have done it, namely, I set the last 23 years before Judgment Day as a day of judgment, commanding you to get out, commanding you to come out from under them, because I have to start preparing the churches for Judgment Day. I have to start putting the people in chains, like he says when he separates the wheat from the tares. The tares have to be bound and being prepared for being cast into the lake of fire, that is, into the day of judgment. And suppose that now the church goes on, and we can't really do this very exactly, because in the background, would that mean then that God would have installed, if he had not told us to come out, if he did not have a period that he called Great Tribulation, would he still put Satan in to rule in the churches? We don't know. But we do know this, when we've been going through Jeremiah, that God has a lot of negative things to say. You know, that the churches would say peace, peace, when there was no peace, and they would bring the rulers, the preachers, and would be very frequently there in order, because they want to make money. It's because it's a job where they get adulation and they get credit and so on. But the Bible gives us rules that if that church continues and is still under the blessing of God at all, what are the people in the church to do? They are to respect, they're to honor, they're to obey those who rule over us. Well, now, in the meantime, suppose that during that period, on the one hand, the church is becoming more and more wicked, as the whole world is becoming more and more wicked as we prepare for the end, on the one hand. Secondly, the true believers, they are searching the Bible constantly because they love the Lord and they want to be as obedient as possible. And they begin to detect more and more that, wait a minute, we have a pastor and he walks so proudly. He always wants to have a lot of recognition. There's something wrong about that. Or they begin to learn about the fact that to believe is a work that we do. And they discover that, and they examine what our church is teaching, and the church doesn't teach that at all. And so the true believers get more and more uncomfortable. They become more and more faint, more and more in despair. What do we do? We have a lovely pastor. My, he is so humble, and he always has a biblical sermon. But when we listen to that carefully now, we're finding it isn't faithful to the Word of God. What are we going to do? We don't rule in this congregation. How are we going to live? And so you would have anguish and you would have fear. what is going on? What is going on? It would make a real mess of things for the true believers. In fact, some of people living today who, even before the or early on in the Great Tribulation, they began to ask a lot of questions of their pastor or of their Bible teacher in their churches, and they found that they were getting badly treated. They were being told, as a matter of fact, why don't you get out of here? We don't want you here. You're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker. And so God is explaining here that in order to avoid a misunderstanding, in order to so that the true believers who really have an intense desire to do the will of God, and the Bible has been there, has become increasingly their authority, and as they discover that they can't trust their church anymore, and in on this count and on that count, God has simplified it by simply saying, get out. Leave that congregation. My people, don't get into that. You're going to, and as you, you're going to hear report after report, year by year, it's going to get worse and worse. In fact, we can testify to that. Of course, when Christ really set up the day of the, or the Great Tribulation, as he did set up the Great Tribulation, he really made it a judgment and by installing Satan there to rule there. Wow, that certainly magnified the wickedness. But the wickedness was already there. It was latent. It wasn't. It just had not been found as big an expression as it did when Satan finally is ruling there. It was as if it was undercover a whole lot more. You had another hairy problem. If God had not done what he had done, you are witnessing to people. You have loved ones, you have friends, you are however. And they begin to show an interest. Are you going to invite them into our church? That's difficult, because they're going to come into our church and all they're going to hear is sermons on that identify with our confession, and there's a lot of the Bible that is not being covered, and yet that's where they have to be, because all through the church age that was the command, that bring them into the congregation. That's where God dealt with them. That's where the Holy Spirit was working. But my, the wickedness that is there. And so you have the anguish of Josiah, of King Josiah. What are we going to do? This is a terrible situation in which we are facing. There's nothing clear cut about this. We don't know whether we're afoot or horseback, to use a figure. We just don't know what to do. And so God clarified the situation very, very clear. He gave us a timeline and locked it in tight, a timeline that the church would go for 1,955 years, and then there would be a 23-year, exactly a full 23-year period when God was bringing judgment and preparing the tares in the churches for their entrance into the day of judgment. He prepared test after test after test in order to assist in that separation of the wheat and the tares. And he said emphatically, no bones about it, get out. If you really believe that you're serving the Lord, you don't belong in that church. You should get away from that church. Of course, we have to face it. There are many people who rejoiced at that command. They didn't want to be in the church anyway, because it didn't mean they were true believers and they were troubled by the doctrines. They just had a difficulty with the pastor, or they had a difficulty with an elder, or they had whatever, or didn't feel comfortable in the church, and so they got out also. That doesn't mean just because they got out that that proved that they were a child of God. But for those who were the children of God, those who were my people, God set this program up so that we would not have to go through that period of complete anguish, total anguish. What do? We don't know where to go. We don't know how to handle this because we have these commands and as to how we are to relate to the church. And now we know we get out. And as we read Jeremiah 51 and go on, for example, when we get down to verse 50, we'll pick up the other two verses between in a moment, down to verse 50. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand and not still. Remember Jehovah afar off and let Jerusalem come into your mind. In other words, don't leave a little bit. You have all your friends there. And some of them are very dear friends. You have your children who don't understand what you're thinking about and learning from the Word, and they are there, and so you are attracted to the idea. The church is having a celebration of a special day or a special event. Can't I go there and be a part of it? There is a little group that are meeting in their home and they're studying the Bible together and they're inviting me to come. Shouldn't I go there and be with them? Maybe I can teach them something and so on. Or my children, they need a Sunday school. I mean, it was always a blessing for them on Sunday to go to Sunday school. And can't I just bring my children to the Sunday school at the church? God is saying, no way. Get out. Get away from it. He's saying here in verse 49 or verse 50, ye that have escaped the sword, go away and stand not still. Get as far away as you can from it. Don't get interested in that invitation to come to that Bible class or to that celebration or to this or to that or the other. These are all gimmicks on the part of Satan to try to draw you in. Get away. And you can remember, it says here, remember the Lord, the Jehovah afar off. That doesn't mean that you are afar off from God, but afar off from the church. You've been living in the church. You have been a part of the church. Maybe you've been an elder or a deacon, and you really have loved the church and the people there very, very greatly. Now, and that's been your tie-in with God, because that you're reminded every time you went to church that we have to serve God. Now you get away as far as you can and remember Jehovah God while you are afar off from the church. Remember Jerusalem. Let Jerusalem come into your mind. In other words, you can remember because Jerusalem here is a figure, I believe, of that local congregation. It's still looked upon by God as an external representation of the kingdom of God. Get away from it. You can remember how you were treated or what they're learning or whatever over there, but you get away. And in fact, the idea now is don't neglect the assembling of yourselves. Remember Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, especially as the day draweth nigh. In other words, it's you and God. God and you is a personal worship, and all that you learn about fellowship with other people, all you learn about uh, caring for one another, as you learned in the churches. There were a lot of good biblical rules that you learn. You've got to leave that out. Leave that out. Now, that has to do with the church. Get as far away as possible from it. And then you will avoid the fear and the anguish and the feeling like you want to weep because you can't know where truth is anymore. You don't know what to do. You're absolutely free to worship God. I still remember, I have a friend who is a he's been a very fine pastor for many, many, many years in the church that I belonged to for 70 years, the first 70 years of my life, and 3 or 4 years ago. And he's quite high in the church that I belong to. He's highly regarded. He's even looked upon as one of the theologians of that denomination. And we talked together for a long time about the various things that I'm interested in. Finally he said to me, he says, you know, why don't you come back into our denomination? Why don't you, because you could be a real asset here in our denomination. Why don't you come back? I think I could, the implication I got was he would see to it that he would talk to the right people so that they would be happy to have me come back in, although a lot of people in the denomination I left would never want to see me there. But I remember my reaction. It was a very, very definite reaction. I thought, oh, please, you mean you want me to go back into that bondage? Yeah, that's exactly what happens in the church. You are under bondage to be faithful to the teachings of the church. You are in bondage to hold up those pastors and look with great favor upon them. You're in bondage in so many different ways. And you know, to come out and not be part of a congregation means there is no bondage. Now, of course, that's a two-way street. We can say, oh, now I'm a freelancer. I can go any way I want. I'm so glad I don't have to obey anybody. Now, that's the wrong kind of an attitude. That if that's why you don't like the bondage of the church, you're in as bad as you were before. We are in bondage. Who are we in bondage to? The Bible. We are in bondage to the Bible. And through the Bible, because the Bible is identified with God Himself, we're in bondage to God. And that is to be in bondage to God and not have any biblical command that we have to be a part of a congregation where we would have to be in bondage there is a wonderful freedom that comes to us because of the way God has set up these times. During this past 23 years, God is telling us, get out. You don't want to be in bondage there at all. You want to be free altogether to serve Christ directly. And then he says in verse 48, then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing. And that's a phrase that's used, that sing is used many times. It is shout for joy, for Babylon. Spoilers shall come upon her from the north, saith Jehovah. And we learned back in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 3, when it talked about spoilers coming from the north, we read in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 3, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, that's against Babylon, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. And that is talking about the day of the catching up, of the rapture, when the true believers will be a final condemnation without saying a word, just by the very fact that they are demonstrating that they are being taken by God to be with Him forevermore, is a condemnation. And it's at that time that particularly that this phrase, they will sing, that is, we will see the victory, and in principle, there will be great rejoicing. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Now, you know, one of the tragedies, the terrible tragedies, and you know, we read, when you read Romans chapter 3, it talks there about we're sinful, we are. Let me turn to that. I haven't looked at that for a while. Romans chapter 3, in verse, beginning with verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher with their tongues. They have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, that is, to kill. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, that's true of the whole human race that is outside of the body of believers, but it is also true very definitely of what is in the churches, because there again, when they bring, for example, and this is it's awesome in its terribleness, when they bring a gospel, a do-it-yourself gospel plan, you follow our rules, you accept Christ, you get baptized in water, you make confession of faith, and so on and so on, and you become a member of this church, and you can know you are a true believer. You're going to be caught up. You're going to be raptured when the end comes. And what they really are saying is, or what the real truth is, because you have become tied in with our do-it-yourself gospel program, you've been given a guarantee that you're going to enter the day of judgment and be dead. In other words, they are killing their congregation. And this is the kind of thing that God is talking about here. We are, as Babylon, Babylon, the slain of Israel fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. That is, in the churches is where Babylon also rules in the whole world. The judgment day comes upon them, and they are destroyed. And so verse 51, we are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuary of Jehovah's house. Now, therefore, This is what happens when the Great Tribulation did begin. It brought shame on the churches, complete shame. But now we have to stop. This is as far as we can get. We'll pick up right there in our next study.